Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. ART has enjoyed bringing lost episodes of Sam Spade Private Eye back to life. Here's Ivan Curry in the Commonwealth Tankard.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Me, sweetheart.
Oh, Sam. Lieutenant Dundee of Homicide called. He wants to know whether to send his men after you or whether you're going to give yourself up. Oh, Sam.
Dry those tears, sweetheart. Everything is back where it belongs, including the Cromwell family.
Oh, Sam. Then everything's all right? You've beaten the rap?
Don't I always?
I know, Sam. I shouldn't worry so much, but every time I think this may be... Oh, Sam!
Oh, now, that's enough, Effie. Dry the phone and hang up. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the Commonwealth Tankard.
Oh, it's a mere scratch, Effie.
Scratch, indeed.
Oh, that. Lipstick.
Might I inquire whose?
Come on in, sweetheart. I'll tell you all about it.
What was she like, Sam? Very pretty?
Pretty as a coral snake and twice as deadly.
Oh, one of those. What was her name?
Patience.
Pretty name, Patience. She must have been at the end of it when she met you.
Date, fill it in. To Mrs. Oliver H. Cromwell from Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, the Commonwealth Tankard.
Tanker, Sam? Like an oil tanker?
Tankard, sweetheart. T-A-N-K-A-R-D. As in beer mug.
You mean all that fuss over an old beer mug?
Dear Mrs. Cromwell, the first time I ever heard of the Commonwealth Tankard was yesterday afternoon when I was summoned to the office of Mr. Merrill Janeway, a dealer in antiques and objects of art. When I walked into his reception room, I thought I was going to like the job. The decor looked like easy money, and the blonde behind the desk was easy to look at. Honey-colored hair, forest green eyes, the kind you can get lost in, and the smile that told you she understood just how you felt.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Sorry, I'm here on business.
You don't look like a businessman.
If you mean that as a compliment, thanks.
I do. Did Mr. Janeway send for you?
Yes, he did. Spade's the name, private detective.
Oh, well, what's it all about, Mr. Spade?
I don't know. Do you?
No, I'm not his regular secretary. I'm just sitting in for my roommate. She had some shopping to do. But don't tell Mr. Janeway, will you? He might get annoyed.
Well, I don't think he would be. He in there now?
Sure, go on in.
I'm in no hurry.
Oh, thanks, but Mr. Janeway's always in a hurry.
Who's Mr. Janeway?
Oh, stop it. I'll be right here when you come out. It's the door on the left.
Ah, you're Spade, aren't you? Come in, come in. Sit down.
Thanks.
This is a simple assignment, Mr. Spade. It won't take much of your time. I've just sold one of the most valuable antiques that has ever passed through my hands. You've heard of the Commonwealth Tankard?
No, I'm afraid I haven't, Mr. Janeway.
Indeed. I thought you had considerable knowledge of the antiquities.
What made you think that?
Your reputation, sir. I refer specifically to your magnificent work in the affairs of the Maltese Falcon.
Thanks very much, Mr. Janeway, but if it's that kind of caper, I'm not interested.
Now, wait a minute, please, Mr. Spade. Allow me to finish. It is true that the Commonwealth Tankard bears the device of a falcon, but it's no such troublesome object as your Maltese bird. Now, here's all I want you to do, Mr. Spade. This parcel contains your precious burden, the Commonwealth Tankard. You are to deliver this into the hands of my client, Dr. Andre Duroc, who will place in your hands an envelope addressed to me.
Mm.
This envelope will contain not an inconsiderable sum of money. $325,000, to be exact. See that you count it.
That's a lot of cash. Is this thing hot?
My dear fellow, Janeway and Company is no fly-by-night concern. This piece was purchased by me from the collection of the late Oliver H. Cromwell of this city. I can show you the bill of sale signed by his daughter, Miss Patience Cromwell.
Now, I'd rather see what's in that package.
Egad, sir, you are the cautious one. Very well, you shall feast your eyes on it. There you are, sir, the Commonwealth Tankard.
Well, it didn't look like 300 grand, but I'm no expert on antiques. It was a hunk of heavy, crudely carved silver with a fancy handle, a hinged cover with a figure of a falcon about an inch and a half high perched on the edge of it. The tankard rested on three claw-shaped feet with the talons extended. I guess it would hold about a quart and a half of beer or a fair-sized geranium plant, but it still didn't look like 300 grand. Janeway picked it up as if it were a basket of eggs and held it over the light.
Here, sir. Here you see one of the reasons for its not inconsiderable value. The inscription, faint but still legible, to O.C., Lord Protector of the Commonwealth, upon the occasion of his ascension to power from his loyal subject and loving kinsman, John Hampton, A.D. 1653. Have you any idea of the significance of that inscription, sir?
Well, I'll take your word for it.
You need not. Leaf through the pages of history, and there you will find writ high the name of Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of the British Commonwealth. But that is only part of the history of this historic...
Beer mug. I'll just wrap this up again and get along with it, Mr. Janeway.
You understand, sir, that this is authentic beyond the shadow of a doubt. The late Oliver H. Cromwell of this city, from whose collection it was taken, was a direct descendant of the illustrious Protector of the Commonwealth.
That's very interesting, Mr. Janeway. Would you just hold your finger here while I tie this knot?
Oh, yes, indeed. You might be interested in the history of the tankard before it fell into the possession of the Lord Protector.
Oh, yeah. I'll just run this package up on the hill and...
That priceless tankard, sir, was fashioned by the great 16th century Chinese craftsman Chen Shu, who was brought to England in irons in the year 1595. In irons, sir. They were struck off...
Well, you made it faster than I expected.
Does he always go on like that?
Oh, he's good for a couple more hours before he even realizes you sneaked out on him.
I sense that.
Oh, these typewriter desks, they always get jammed up. Could you lend me some muscle, Mr. Spade? I'll clear a space for your package.
That was a nice gadget. I have to buy one for my secretary. Okay, there you are.
Oh, thanks. Men are so useful. No office should be without one.
Well, we also carry the large economy size for restaurants and bar rooms. Would you care to join me in a short beer?
Well, I can't right now, but I'm here every day, 9 to 5. Here, don't forget your package. My regular department is stock. Just ask the forelady for Kathy.
Oh, I'll remember that, sweetheart.
Oh, I know you will.
She gave me her must-you-really-go look, number 24A, for warm afternoons. I gave her Will You Kiss Me Now or Later, number 137596. And if I hadn't been holding the package, I don't know what would have happened. I fell out of the door and floated up the hill to 1221 and a half Leavenworth. Dr. Andre Duroc met me at the door of his apartment. He was wearing a Chinese silk dressing gown, an expensive coat of tan, and a smile full of anxiety.
You have it. At last. The Commonwealth Tankard, sit down. Excuse me, I cannot wait to see it.
Hey, take it easy, Doctor. That package is COD.
Of course. I have the money for you. Ah, now we shall see. Snap on the light there, Mr. Spade, will you?
Well, it didn't take much light to see what had happened. The honey-headed little number in Janeway's outer office had switched packages on me while I was helping her with a typewriter. The beer mug I brought to Dr. Duroc was the same size and weight as the Commonwealth tankard, but instead of the falcon on the cover and the date 1653, there was a bubble dancer done in plastic. And the inscription read, Yippee, Milwaukee Beer Salesman Convention, 1945. The color drained out of Duroc's face, leaving a sticky yellow in place of his healthy tan. He stood speechless for a moment with the mug in his hands, and then he exploded.
Liar. Thief! Imposter!
I ducked just in time, and the phony tankard landed across the room. He stumbled towards me, grabbing me by the lapels, and hung there, drooling and gibbering.
Who are you? What is he trying to do to me? It's all the money I have. He agreed. What more does he want? Tell me! Tell me!
Doctor, what you need is a sedative. You've still got your dough. What are you losing?
The tankard. The tankard! I must have that tankard, do you hear me?
Yeah. It sounded like you said something about a tankard.
He promised it to me. He promised.
Oh, please, doctor, my suit. You're getting it all wet.
I do not care. I do not care whether I live or die. I want my tankard.
Doctor, I can't stand it. Well, don't cry like that. I'll try and find your tankard.
You will. You'll find it. Oh, thank you. I take it all back. You're not a liar. You're not an imposter. Perhaps you're not even a thief.
I accepted Dr. Andre Duroc's apologies and left. When I got back to the Janeway building, it was a little after 5, and the office workers were streaming out on their way home. In the lobby, I punched the button for the automatic elevator and watched the lights blink on and off as it came down from the 8th floor. 5 girls got out of it. I let 4 of them brush past me. The 5th was carrying a package. I grabbed her by the arm and shoved her back in the elevator.
Let go of me. You let me go.
I'll let you go. Back upstairs with me.
I won't go back there. Do you hear me? I'm going to just...
Keep away from those buttons. I'm running this car.
You don't even know what you're doing. I've got to get out of here. I'll kill you. I swear.
Ouch. Ouch. You bit me. What? That's not fair.
Will you stop this elevator?
Okay. There. Now, be a good girl and hand over the package.
No.
Okay? We'll just stay here for a while.
Well, you'll have to kill me to get it.
Oh, I hope I don't have to. You're so young. You showed such great promise.
And I think you're really capable of it. But you wouldn't get away with it. Not like this.
You're a thief, and you're resisting arrest. I get away with it.
Well, you seem very sure of that.
License number 137596.
I'll scream, and they'll hear me all over the building.
Come here. It was a great love scene. We both enjoyed it a lot. I didn't know till we passed the 4th floor that part of that feeling on the pit of my stomach was the downward movement of the elevator. While I was getting a grip on the package, she managed to push the main floor button. When the elevator stopped and the doors opened on the main floor lobby, I yanked the package away from her with one hand, pushed her out of the car with the other, and before she even had time to look startled, the package and I were on our way up to Mr. Janeway's office. I started down the corridor, but I stopped short of Janeway's door, because before I got there, it opened and a white uniformed man came out, followed by a basket, followed by another white uniformed man who was holding on to the other end of the basket. All 4 of them, the men, the basket, and the corpse in the basket, we're obviously headed for the morgue.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Sam Spade. Now, here's important news on good grooming. Better than 4 out of 5 users of Wild Root Cream Oil say they prefer Wild Root Cream Oil to all other hair tonics. So if you want that well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil, and no wonder. It gives you the advantage that men consider most important. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves annoying dryness, and removes loose dandruff. What's more, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil is the only leading hair tonic that contains soothing lanolin. So ask for Wild Root Cream Oil again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now, back to the Commonwealth Tankard, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
The boys from the morgue loaded their stiff into the freight elevator and went on their way. I took one peek through the door of Janeway's office and beat a hasty retreat into a nearby broom closet. The office was swarming with cops, and I assumed that Mr. Janeway had been the victim of foul play. I waited till the homicide boys had drifted out before I drifted in. The place was a shambles. Paneling pried loose from the walls, filing cabinets overturned, carpets ripped up, stuffing pulled out of furniture. The only thing that hadn't been broken was the cooler, and that was transparent. None of it looked like police work, except the fingerprint powder that was spread all over everything and gave it an eerie look, like a bunch of ruins after a light snowfall. While I stood there looking at it, a feeling began to grow on me. The thing Janeway's office had been frisked for, the reason for the corpse I'd seen carried out in that morgue basket, was still in the package under my arm. I shifted it uneasily from one arm to the other, half expecting the brown wrapping paper to burst into flames. The Commonwealth Tankard was getting hotter by the minute. I went back to my apartment, locked myself in. I shoved the bureau against the door, hung blankets over the window blinds, turned out the lights, and unwrapped the tankard by the feeble glow of my Buck Rogers combined pen, pencil, flashlight, and aspirin holder. There was nothing inside of the tankard. The falcon on the lid was all in one piece. The handle was solid, and nothing was wrong with the claw feet, except they were kind of ugly. I held it to my ear like a seashell. It didn't sound like a seashell. So I filled it with bourbon, sat down to think. After an hour or so, I staggered over to the kitchenette, rinsed out the tankard, dried it carefully, and put it away in a diabolically clever hiding place behind my dirty laundry in the oven of the gas stove. The next morning's headlines told me all I needed to know. Art dealer murdered, police seek blonde mystery woman in theft of historic relic. According to the story, Merrill Janeway's body was lying unclaimed at the morgue. Huh. I decided to return the tankard to its rightful owner.
Oh, Sammy, long time no see. Looking for a friend?
Yeah, I've always got friends in the morgue, Maggie.
What's the tag on this one?
Janeway.
Oh, the one they took out of that office on Sutter Street.
Yeah, it's the same, Maxie, the same. Anybody claim him yet?
No, don't look like they will.
Do me a favor, Maxie. Put this with his things. It belonged to him.
Yeah, sure. You know, Sam, I should have known you had something to do with this one. Boy, can you pick him.
I don't pick him, Maxie. They pick me.
I've been handling stiffs 15, 16 years, Sam, and I never seen the likes of this one.
Oh, how's that? Bad shape?
Bad. Listen, Sam, they bring this guy in and we put him up on the slab, see? He looks pretty good for multiple contusions. Seems like awful quick rigor, but man, we get him like that sometimes. So we get out the pump, you know, and I'm looking through the racing form waiting for him to drain, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I notice, and I get this whiff of formaldehyde. What do you think come out of him, Sam?
Napoleon brandy.
No, embalming fluid.
Huh?
That's what I said. No blood, Sam. Embalming fluid. Now I ask, how could a man carry on a business in that condition?
Let me see him, Maxie, will you?
Yeah, sure. Come on in. Let's see. G-H-I. Yeah. Here it is. Right between Jason and James. Merrill Janeway. Yeah. Hiya, Merrill. You spook? Looks real cute, don't he, Sam?
You don't know how cute, Maxie.
I don't know, Sammy. I made real study of this one. Look at there. Right there by the left temple. What do you see?
Nothing.
That's what's cute. Now watch here. Pardon me, Merrill. There. Now I ask you, Sam, full of embalming fluid with a hole in his head an inch deep. Does that make sense?
It was beginning to, in a gruesome sort of way. The wax plug that Maxie had removed from the head wound was shaped like a falcon's claw. I didn't touch it. I had Maxie put it in an envelope, and I carried it out with me. My next stop was the newspaper files of the Chronicle, where I spent the next couple of hours looking over the clips of your illustrious family. The pictures of your husband, Oliver H. Cromwell, looked about the way I expected they would. The society pages carried some pictures of you, retouched, and of your daughter, Patience Cromwell, unretouched. I spent a fascinating half hour reading between the lines of your husband's obituary. It said he was a philanthropist, a vivid and forceful personality, and would be mourned by thousands of loyal employees of the Cromwell Industries, by which they meant that he was a hypocritical, ill-tempered old miser whose factories were all sweatshops. It also said that he had died of a heart attack while climbing the stairs in his Burlingame mansion. That's where I left it and called you, Mrs. Cromwell, and then I went back to my apartment.
Sam, please, don't turn me away until I can...
How did you get in here?
The janitor. I told him I was your sister. What's so funny?
Me as your brother. Oh, I knew I'd make the social register sooner or later.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you never did look like anybody's secretary to me, sweetheart. And when you bit me in the elevator, I knew you'd been to finishing school.
All right. I'm going to tell you everything. I'm Patience Cromwell.
You admit it. I admire your courage.
Please, Sam, don't. Don't try to hurt me, too. Now, I know I've lied to you, and I've gotten you in a lot of trouble, but this is the truth. There's nowhere I can go, and no one I can trust, so could you just let me stay here?
Can you cook?
I'd be willing to try. Well, you won't believe this, but I'd do almost anything for you.
Well, this joint needs a woman's touch. They all tell me that.
Well, I'm not as useless as I look.
I know that, sweetheart. But if we're going to play house, we got to start with a clean one.
All right, Sam.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of dirty dishes in the sink. Let's start with the tankard.
Well, I had to get it back, Sam. My mother found out that I stole it from my father's collection and sold it to Mr. Janeway.
When was that?
Well, right after right after Father's death, that is. And, well, I had to have the money, and Mother wouldn't help me, and Father and I were never very close. And, well, I never felt it was irreverent or anything. And but then Mother found out, and she was just furious. So she threatened to have me thrown into jail if I didn't get the tankard back. And, well, I didn't have the money, and so the only way I could get it was to steal it. And that's the true story about the Commonwealth tankard.
I like it. You tell it very well. You tell it very well, sweetheart. But let's have the real true story about the Commonwealth tankard.
You don't believe me?
Oh, sure I believe you. Just like I believe that your father had a heart attack and merely fell down the stairs. Just like I believe that Dr. Duroc never got paid off for the death certificate.
Oh, you're just guessing. You're playing at being a detective. You know, things aren't always what they look like on the surface, you know.
I know just what you mean, sweetheart. Here's what you're trying to tell me, isn't it?
What's that?
That's a hunk of special kind of wax. Undertakers use it sometimes to make a stiff look pretty for the funeral. Funny shape, isn't it? Like a falcon's claw matches the legs on that tankard.
Well, what are you going to do with
it? I'm going to keep it for evidence if I need it.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that. And I'm sorry that you did, because now I'm going to have to try and make you give it back to me.
Now, wait a minute, Angel. On you, that gun looks... terrible. Put it away.
I mean it, Sam.
They're looking for you for one murder. Another one isn't going to help you any, especially with that story you tell, the true story of the Commonwealth tankard, authorized version.
I didn't kill Mr. Janeway.
I know that. I'm trying to help you.
But how can I believe you, and how can I know that this isn't just another trick?
You can't. I'm a detective, sweetheart.
Stop it, Sam. You're asking for it.
Oh, drop it, Angel.
No. Couldn't. No matter what happens. Oh, hold me close, Sam. Please, I'm so scared. Just hold me close.
Well, yeah, that's better.
I know now that I can trust you, can I, Sam? Can I, darling? Sam, don't answer it. Please, please don't answer it.
If it's the cops, they'll bust in anyway.
You. The janitor told you I was here. You called them from downstairs. You let me...
Oh, shut up. I didn't call the cops. It's your mother.
Why? You haven't found out anything, have you?
Will you get out of sight? There's a closet behind the wall there.
But
and don't make any noise.
Mr. Spade.
Come on in, Mrs. Cromwell.
I've been to the morgue, Mr. Spade. I've claimed my husband's body. I can never thank you enough.
Mrs. Cromwell, do you know that your daughter is in a very bad spot?
Isn't there anything we can do, Mr. Spade? If I could only find her, talk to her.
Oh, nuts. You saw her this afternoon, and the two of you fixed up a story to tell me. I've already heard it. I don't believe it, so don't tell it to me again.
How much of the truth do you know?
That your husband was murdered by a blow on the head from the Commonwealth tankard, and that either you or your daughter or the two of you together hit him.
Well, you don't leave me much to tell. Only this, Mr. Spade. I did it. Patience had nothing whatever to do...
Mother!
Patience, what are you doing here?
Well, I'm not going to let you take the blame alone, Mother.
My poor, foolish darling. You're young. You have your whole life ahead of you, my dear. Please let me handle this in my own way.
How about a little truth-telling from both of you? I can't really help you without it.
I think he really does want to help us, Mother.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Well, the night it happened, Patience was having one of her quarrels with her father. I heard their voices in the study. It was over her infatuation with Andre, Dr. Duroc. They spoke such violent words that I became frightened and tried to intervene. My husband had an uncontrollable temper. He was hurting Patience. I tried to separate them, and he flew into an insane rage. He picked up the poker from the fireplace and raised it to strike me. The Commonwealth tanker was just behind me on the mantelpiece. I reached for it and threw it at him to stop him. It hit him in the head. Then I ran out of the room. He came after me. I ran down the stairs. He must have stumbled. Anyway, he fell.
Why didn't you tell that story before? That isn't murder. It isn't even manslaughter.
I'm afraid it is, Mr. Spade. The doctor arrived a little before he died. He said the blow from the tankard was definitely what killed him.
Yeah. And what did he charge for calling it a heart failure on the death certificate?
Oh, what does it matter? What does any of it matter now?
Why did you sell that tankard to Janeway?
Because he said he had a customer in England for it. Well, I thought it was the best way to get it far, far away. Then I read in the paper that it was being sold in San Francisco for 10 times its actual value. I suspected the buyer was Andre Duroc.
Why?
You asked what his price was for that death certificate. I had agreed to marry him.
I told him Patience had no intention of marrying him. That's when he bought the tankard with the idea of blackmailing us.
Who snatched your husband's body and why?
Mr. Janeway helped me.
Mother, how could Mr. Janeway...
Pardon me.
Ah, Mr. Spade, I find you in. Egad, there's that courageous little woman, Mrs. Cromwell, and that naughty but lovely young woman, Patience, so ineptly named. Ah, what a lot of trouble you've caused, young lady.
Mother, I think you owe us an explanation.
I started to tell you, Patience.
Allow me, Mrs. Cromwell. Your mother has told me everything, Patience. She came to me yesterday and told me what a mistake I had made in selling the tankard to that young sawbones, Dr. Duroc. I admired her courage as well as her,
Her money?
Personality, Mr. Spade. I believe that is the word. Well, to make a long story short, I felt I must do something to make amends. It occurred to me that the tankard was no threat at all without the body it had left its mark upon. So, Penelope, Mrs. Cromwell, and I went to the cemetery with my station wagon and her shovel. And, well, then there was the question of what to do with it. So I hit on the capital idea of passing it off as me. That way it would stay in the morgue icebox until we could manage to get the tankard back. As a detective, what do you think of that, Mr. Spade?
Well, as a detective, I don't get it. How did you hope to fool anyone into thinking that was a fresh corpse?
Well, it was embalmed.
Oh, that's what I mean. It had embalming fluid in it.
I say, that was an oversight, eh, Penelope? But by gad, we put it over, didn't we?
So you think you put it over, Janeway, huh?
Andre!
Now look here, Duroc.
You're late, Doctor.
I wouldn't have missed this little comedy for anything. Thank you for leaving the door open for me, Mr. Spade.
Sam, you knew he was coming.
Now, don't start that again, sweetheart. Go in and get yourself a glass of milk.
No. Everyone will please stay in this room. Yes, you too, Spade. I'm holding the gun now.
What do you want?
the tankard and the body, and no one leaves here till I have both of them.
Did you bring the money?
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay. Mrs. Cromwell, get on that phone. Call the morgue. The tankard's there, too.
Mr. Spade, I trusted you.
Stop mouthing. Get on the phone.
You're an honest man, Mr. Spade. The only person here who has kept his word.
After you made your phone call, Mrs. Cromwell, we sat and waited. We didn't have to wait long. Maxie was prompt.
Here's the package, Sam. Just like you ordered it.
Thanks, Maxie.
Yeah, well, I'll be getting back to the shop now.
One moment!
Yeah?
Where's that body? I must have Cromwell's body.
Hey, Sam, who is this guy? Some ghoul or something?
Nah, just a medical student. See you around, Maxie.
Okay, you're clients. I'll get them later. Goodbye, all. See you at the morgue. And I ain't kidding.
I said you were a man of your word, Mr. Spade. I was wrong.
No, you weren't. Here, I'll take the wraps off of it. Ah, there you are, Duroc, the Commonwealth tankard.
Yes, that's good. Now, when do I get the body?
You got it now. Cromwell's body is inside the tankard. Mrs. Cromwell had the body cremated at my suggestion, Duroc. It's much more portable that way.
Ashes. Nothing but ashes is worthless now. You are all thieves. You busters, liars.
Oh, Sam, I just can't help it. If he weren't so wicked, he'd be funny.
Go ahead. Laugh. You would pay me anyway if you had any decency. I rid you of that tyrant you both hated. He would have killed you if he lived long enough. I saved your lives.
You killed Father?
Yes, I am the one that made you rich. I. Why do you think I sent you out of the room while I examined the body? Because he wasn't dead enough. I made sure he wouldn't stand any longer between you and me, my darling. I took the tanker and hit him again. And look what you are doing to me. You owe me. You owe me.
Egad, the fellow's quite mad. Come, Penelope.
Oh, Beryl, how can we ever thank you?
Nonsense. All in a day's work, my dear. Come, I'll escort you home. Oh, don't forget Oliver.
Oliver?
In the tankard, my dear. Remember?
Oh, but really, don't you think it would be rather...
Quite right. Three's a crowd. Patience?
Yes, Mr. Janeway?
Look after your father, Patience, dear. Your mother's had a hard day.
And that, Mrs. Cromwell, is the crop. You know by this time that Duroc went quickly when the cops came after him. Patience went quickly home a little later. She's still a little mixed up about things in general. Frankly, I think she still doesn't trust me. And frankly, I don't blame her. Period. End of report.
You have been listening to The Adventures of Sam Spade, the Commonwealth Tankard. This American Radio Theater recreation starred Ivan Curry as Sam Spade and Beverly Washburn as Patience. Also in our cast you heard Laurelyn Lahr as Effie, Lee Delaney as Janeway, David Maddox as Dr. Duroc, John Greenway as Maxie, and Pam Hungate as Mrs. Cromwell. Original music composed and performed by Chad Rennie. Live sound effects by Joy Jackson, Mary Moore Campagna, and Penny Swanberg. Sound engineering by Doug Collins. The program was directed by Mike Wheeler. I'm your announcer, Aaron Hiles, thanking you for listening and inviting you to join us again next time. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Hey, let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
From the famous Boulevard Room here in the Stevens Hotel in Chicago, the American Broadcasting Company presents Orrin Tucker and the Danciest Band of the Land. Vocals tonight are Scotty Marsh and Kenny Jackson. Good evening, everyone. This is Orrin Tucker, and the boy is coming to you from the Boulevard Room of the Stevens Hotel. Our first melody tonight, a little doodad by the name of Side by Side. Here it is. This is an old one, and I'm going to mumble. We ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny. Travel along, singing a song, side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow. Travel the road, sharing our load, side by side. Through all kinds of weather, what if the sky should fall? Just as long as we're together, doesn't matter at all. When they've all either quarreled and parted, we'll be the same as we started. Traveling along, singing a song, side by side. Trouble and sorrow, travel the road, sharing our load, side by side. When we've all led the quarrels and parted, we'll be the same as we started. Traveling along, singing a song, side by side. Marsh sings A Penny and a Kiss. Scotty?
I'm gonna save a penny every time I hold you tight, and we're gonna watch the pennies grow. I'm gonna save a penny every time we kiss goodnight, and darling, when we're married, we can own a bungalow. A penny a kiss, a penny a hug, we're gonna save a pennies in a big brown jug. A penny a kiss, a penny a hug, oh, how rich we're gonna be. I'm gonna save a penny every time we take a walk, and another for a rainy day. I'm gonna save a penny every time we baby talk, and darling, when we're married, we can furnish right away. A table, a chair, a lamp and a rug, we're gonna save our pennies in a big brown jug. A penny a kiss, a penny a hug, oh, how rich we're gonna be. The pennies grow. I'm gonna save a penny every time we kiss goodnight. And darling, when we're married, we can own a bungalow. A penny a kiss, a penny a hug. We're gonna save a penny in a big brown jug. A penny a kiss, a penny a hug. Oh, how rich we're gonna. Oh, how rich we're gonna be. They say you can live on. Chances, so we're saving at a penny a kiss.
Popular
funny thing. Teardrops from my eyes. Got it?
Every time it rains, I think of you. And that's the time I feel so blue. When the rain starts a-falling, my love comes tumbling down. And it's raining, teardrops from my eyes. Well, if you see clouds here in my eyes, it's just because you said goodbye. Although the sun is shining, there's no more summer skies. And it's raining, teardrops from my eyes. Remember the night you told me our love would always be. I would be blue and lonely if you'd come back to me. Every single cloud would disappear. I'd wear a smile if you were here. So baby, won't you hurry and come back to me? Cause it's raining, teardrops from my eyes.
Room of the Stevens Hotel with Too Young. They try to tell us we're too young. Too young to really be in love. They say that love's a word we've only heard. But can't begin to know the meaning of. And yet we're not too young to know. This love will last though years may go. And then someday we were not
young to know. This love will last though years may go. And then someday they may recall we were not too young.
A ditty with a title called The Hot Canary. Tucker and his orchestra coming to you from the Boulevard Room of Hotel Stevens in the city of Chicago. And it's on ABC. Here's another tune now. Y'all there? Now. It's Scotty Marsh singing I Double Dare. Scotty?
I double dare you to sit over here. I double dare you to lend me your ear. Get off your high hat and let's get friendly. Don't be a scare cat. Say, what do you care? Can't you take a dare? I double dare you to kiss me and then I double dare you to kiss me again. And if that look in your eye means what I'm thinking of, I double dare you to fall in love with me. I double dare you. again. I double dare you to kiss me again. And if that look in your eye means what I'm thinking of, I double dare you to fall in love with me. I double dare you.
From the Boulevard Room in the Stevens Hotel, Scotty Marsh sings Three Little Words.
Three little words. Oh, what I'd give for that wonderful phrase. To hear those three little words. That's all I'd live for the rest of my days. To tell you what's in my heart, they tell sincerely. No other words can tell it quite so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters that simply mean that I love you. What's in my heart, they tell sincerely. No other words can tell it quite so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters that simply mean that I love you.
From way back with the title, Little Girl. Little girl, you're the one girl for me. Little girl, you're sweet as can be. Just a glance at you, man, love from the start. Oh, what a thrill came into my heart. Little girl, with your cute little ways, I'm yours. For the rest of my days, and this great wide world will seem divine. Little girl, when you're mine, all mine. Little girl, when you're mine.
my love. The tired old moon is descending. Good night, my love. My moment with you now is ending. It was so heavenly, holding you close to me. It will be heavenly to hold you again in a dream. The stars above promise to meet us tomorrow. Till then, my love, how dreary the new day will seem. So for the present, dear, we'll have to part. Good night, my love. Sleep tight, my love. Remember that you're mine, sweetheart.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by radioadofthepast.org for the Old Time Radio Marathon on August 17th, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, to 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. 12 hours of old time radio shows, and they give out prizes to those who listen. And check us out on AmericanRadioTheater.org for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time!